darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, and Jeff is back from playing hooky. We have the full J-Square contingent in the building today. Mr. Tross is on my right, bada boom. Jeff Reed is on my left, bada bing. Marty Sparks lighting up the dark from the screening room. And I'm telling you, you guys got to know Marty. Marty is quite the character. I'm telling you, Marty always has something ready. A quick zinger. He does, I'm telling you. Well, thank you so much for tuning into the program today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm so glad that you guys are tuned in. Most of you are making your way from your part-time work to your full-time work. You know, it's so funny, when I travel around the country, I didn't intend for that to become like a thing, you know, but it seems to resonate with people just to view really the way that God would desire for us to view as serving our family. Man, that's our full-time work. What we do outside of our homes, that's not our identity. That's not who we are, and that is not our primary harvest field or venue of faithfulness. The primary institution that God created before there was ever a church, before there was ever an order of prophets, before there was ever a monarchy, the first institution that God created was the family. The Lord did that to convey to us anthropological history, but also theological truth. Brothers and sisters, we must serve our families well. We don't want to be those who are faithful on the outside of our homes, but we're neglectful on the inside of our homes. We want to be faithful inside and outside, and we want to make sure that we do not neglect Jerusalem in an effort to win the world. So my encouragement to you is to serve your families well, to discharge faithfulness within your homes, within your family relationships, with the same type of intention, with the same type of diligence, with the same type of prayerful disposition that you would desire for your pastors to serve in his capacity as the shepherd for your local assembly. All right? Praise God. Well, we're going to begin today. This is something that the Lord has just consistently brought back to my attention, just the preeminence of Christ, not allowing other things to obfuscate our view of our Lord, but that we remain with an unvarnished, a diligent commitment to our Lord as being preeminent over everything. So Isaiah chapter 6 is where we're going to go, and I'm going to cross-reference from here to John chapter 12, but Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8 is where I'm going to spring from today. I'll read it then and kind of unpack it a little bit. Here we go. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, this is Isaiah, and I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Man, I love the word of God. So here we have Isaiah chronicling this revelatory encounter he has. But it's interesting to note that this occurs in chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah. In verse 1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. This reference has a meaning on multiple layers. So initially, it chronicles the fact that Isaiah is ministering to Judah at the time of King Uzziah's reign. And chapter 6 transpires at the end of King Uzziah's reign. Expositors, historians, biblical scholars have utilized this reference and others to chronicle, to date the book of Isaiah. And this is dated right at about 740 BC, where we are here. But it also is indicative, as Bible expositors or Hebrew expositors have explained repeatedly, that this reference also is one that is a comment toward the transcendent nature of King Uzziah's monarchy. If you had to erect a Mount Rushmore, if you will, of kings of Israel, you probably would have David, Solomon, and Uzziah would be there as well, because in terms of capital building projects and national and natural prosperity, King Uzziah was one of the most prominent kings in Judah's history. In fact, Uzziah thought so highly of himself, it's recorded for us in 2 Chronicles, he thought, well, shucks, I'm the king, but why can't I offer the incense too? And it's this same King Uzziah who entered the temple, remember this, and tried to burn the incense. And the Bible says the strong priests withstood him to his face, and leprosy broke out because he was about to try to go in on the priest for confronting him. It is this same King Uzziah. All of this is important because King Uzziah was known to be such a transcendent king that his prominence during his reign caused there to be such national prosperity in Judah, one might say, record-setting stock markets. One might say, record-setting prosperity. Technological advancement. He was known for building all kinds of irrigation systems, all kinds of things naturally that caused the Israelites almost to lose their view of Yahweh because they couldn't see Yahweh for Uzziah. And so it's noteworthy that Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, in the year that King Uzziah is moved off the scene, he then sees the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And Isaiah records that the train of his robe filled the temple. So if you know anything about the robes, the train, and we kind of have a reference point with wedding dresses and the trains on the dresses, they come on the behind part. I'm not even seeing the entire robe, just the train of his robe, and it fills the temple. This is how expansive Isaiah's revelation of the Lord, as he refers to in the Hebrew word there, is Adonai. His view of the Lord is. And then he hears the seraphim calling out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And though Isaiah is beholding the train of his robe in the temple, the seraphim cry out, the whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah is witnessing the train of his robe in this vision. But the angel says, don't get it twisted. You might see the train of his robe here, but the whole earth is full of his glory. And as the seraphim spoke, verse 4 says, and the foundations of the threshold shook. Oh my God. And the whole house where Isaiah was filled with smoke. And he gave the only expression that you could render at this literally awesome sight. Isaiah exclaims, woe is me. In the Hebrew, it's an exclamation. It's not just, woe is me, you know, with the clear eyes type of voice. No, Isaiah declares, woe is me, because he sees the unapproachable holiness of the Lord. And in the presence of the Lord, his abject nakedness and undoneness is exposed. And Isaiah sees himself in light of the Lord's presence and cries out, woe is me. And he recognizes. Now, folks, this is amazing. Isaiah has 5 chapters before this of prophecies that have been going on. But at this sight of the Lord, he realizes, woe is me, For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in a people, in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Verse 5, the second half, what is the basis of Isaiah's revelation? For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The word for hosts there, the Hebrew word there, Saba, is an indication of the Lord who commands an angelic army, an angelic military fighting force. Then the seraphim touches him with the burning coal from the tongs, declares him as clean, and the only appropriate response, he hears a voice from the Lord saying, "Who shall I send?" Isaiah says, "Though I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips, here I am, Lord, send me." The only appropriate response when you have such a transcendent revelation. Well, what I want to point out for you today is that John picks up on this in John chapter 12. The entire Gospel of John, and if you're not aware, the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are considered synoptic gospels from the Greek word synop, which means with one eye. They tell very similar stories, but the Gospel of John is a gospel, but it has a different purpose, and it focuses on the divinity of Jesus. And right at about, I'll read through this, at verse 37 in John chapter 12, John records this. Though he had done many signs before them, they still did not believe him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. That's quoting from Isaiah chapter 53. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Verse 39, therefore, they could not believe. For again, Isaiah said, now he's going to refer to Isaiah chapter 6, the same chapter 6 we were just reading from. Therefore, they could not believe, for again Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. I was talking about this passage with my man Will Addison, and he brought this out about John chapter 12. Look at verse 41 in John chapter 12. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Brothers and sisters, what John is highlighting for us is that this transcendent glory that caused Isaiah to proclaim, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. John is highlighting for us that who he saw was Jesus. Oh, brothers and sisters. When we allow the presence and power and transcendence and unmitigated holiness of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah who was prophesied to come, when we allow his view in our lives to be obstructed, that allows us to make everything else larger than it is. Political strife, ethnic tension, concern about the future, all of these things are magnified. They are given higher preeminence, higher prevalence, when our vision of the Lord is obscured. Just like the thing that affected the Jews under Uzziah's reign is that because Uzziah was so prominent, they couldn't see the Lord. But once the obstruction was removed, Isaiah is able to see the Lord. And not only see the Lord, he's able to see himself. My simple encouragement for you today is to contend to prohibit an obstruction of your view of Christ. To refuse to allow the civilian matters to obstruct your view of Christ. When he is seen as he is to be seen, when he is understood as he is to be understood, when the transcendent glory of his preeminent presence is unobstructed, it makes it hard for us to cause these other things to be transcendent. How am I supposed to view my brother who may have a different quantity of melanin in his skin? I view them through the finished work of the cross. How do I view the things that are transpiring around me? We should view them through the finished work of the cross. And if you, listening to me, have not yet placed your faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation and received from the fount of his grace, today is the day of salvation. Do not harden your hearts, because brothers and sisters, the truth is, heaven is real and hell is real too. And the facts are that a refusal to receive Christ has an eternal eternity to pay.
This is an historic time in our nation. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Since President Donald Trump took office in January 2017, he has been fulfilling a great promise. He is appointing judges who will set aside their personal views and political prejudices and honor the Constitution and the rule of law. President Trump has appointed more judicial nominees, including two justices to the High Court, than any other president in history. Approximately one out of every four sitting judges on the Court of Appeals has been appointed by this president. Unlike prior Republican presidents who nominated some judges that were judicial activists, this president has consistently nominated people who are committed to originalism. And Liberty Counsel has already argued before some of them, and it is such a positive difference. We praise God that President Trump is already creating a judicial legacy that will last for decades. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
Hey, want to go shopping later?
Yeah, sure. Where do you want to go?
Oh, we can go to JCPenney's, Belk, Target.
Whoa, wait. I was with you until you said Target.
What's wrong with Target?
What's wrong with Target? You mean besides the fact that they have an open door policy that lets men into women's restrooms, that Target?
Wait, what?
Exactly. As a matter of fact, before we go, grab your laptop, go to afa.net, and sign the pledge to boycott Target.
Okay, I'm on it.
If ever there was a time when Christians in America needed to know their Bible, it's now. I'm Dr. John Oswalt, interim president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Ridgeland, Mississippi. We're committed to helping people at all levels learn what the Bible says and how to interpret its truth for our time. Whether you take a course or a degree, you'll come out with an ability to apply God's revealed word to your own life and to our needy world. Check us out, wbs.edu.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Chick-fil-A declared this week that it will no longer support any Christian charity, including the Salvation Army, that believes in a biblical view of marriage. They are doing this under relentless pressure from the homosexual lobby, which since 2012 has hammered CFA over its support for pro-family organizations. This is a huge victory for the homosexual lobby, which got the third largest restaurant chain in America to meekly submit to its demands to reject the Bible. Chick-fil-A's donation to the Salvation Army was used to provide Christmas gifts for the children of inmates. Next year, these kids will be on their own. CFA's motive seems to be a craven devotion to its bottom line. Jesus said we must choose to serve either God or mammon. This week, Chick-fil-A made its choice about which master it will serve.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here at American Family Radio. I'm going to discuss, because I know lots of people are asking for it, but I'm going to discuss some of the goings on from the impeachment inquiry today. But I want to remind you, as I do this, I want to remind you just what I started out in the beginning with. Our hope as Christ followers is not anchored on the shenanigans that transpire on Capitol Hill. Our hope rests in a resurrected king. I just want to remind you now that we don't stick our heads in the sand. We don't ignore what's going on around us. But what happens around us, it's not the source of our hope. We should be mindful of it. We absolutely must remain prayerful and engaged. But I hope it comes from above. All right, here we go. So today was a pretty explosive day, a big day. Pardon me, I had to take a swig of high quality H2O. Got a little bit parched. An explosive day with the impeachment hearings. But I am going to pull out some things that, in my opinion, are determinative. In my opinion, as to what is happening there. And I know the talking snake is not going to focus on these things because, what do talking snakes do? You know? They lie! That's what they do. So it began with U.S. Ambassador Sondland, Man, what's his first name? I had his first name right here. But Sondland is his last name, who originally was not a President Trump supporter, who became a Trump supporter. Donated, I think, $1 million to President Trump's inauguration for the festivities there. Then received, and well, it wasn't, I guess you could say, in response or as a result of that donation, he becomes the ambassador to the European Union. Eh. You have his name, Gordon. That's it, Gordon Sondland. Thank you, Jeff. Jeffy Fresh, thank you. And so Ambassador Sondland was the one who was going to come in and say, oh, yeah, quid pro quo, did it, done it, got it good. Now, it's been my contention, and I think Brian Fisher has talked about this a whole lot. The quid pro quo line of defense really wasn't the most effective line of defense, in my estimation, because foreign policy, and I've said this before and I'll say it again now, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are on a campaign trail right now, attempting to get the support of would-be voters by saying, if Israel wants to continue receiving financial support from the U.S., then they must change their stance on dealing with the Palestinians. That's happening right now. Folks, this is the way foreign policy is done. I remind everyone, I said this before, nobody had problems with quid pro quo when, former President Obama and Hillary, the henchwoman Clinton, oh, I said her name, she who shall never be president, tried to shake down African countries, Nigeria, Uganda. Unless you force your women in your country to embrace the baby murdering agenda, you won't get any financial support from the U.S. Nobody had anything to say about that. Not anybody amongst the talking snakes, of course. But now that's the big deal. In my estimation, a better focal point for the administration would be to highlight the fact that Ukraine was a corrupt country. And just before the conversation arose concerning military aid, the Ukrainians just disappeared. $7 billion. $7 billion. It's gone. Where's the $7 billion? I don't know. So it would be prudent, in my estimation. $7 billion was just dismissed. All of the witnesses all almost unanimously agreed that Ukraine was a hotbed for corruption. Don't you think it would be wise to get some insight and understanding before you give more money? Anyway, leaving that aside for the moment. So after Ambassador Sondland read from his 23-page opening statement, oh yes, 23-page opening statement, they took a break. Oh, you thought it was a restroom break. Oh, no. Not a restroom break. During the break, Adam Schiff just happened to have a press conference set up to announce, oh, we got it. Quid to the pro to the quo. Trump did it. He did it. Now, let me ask you a question before I go to some audio for you. Does anyone here think that Democrats in the majority had not already made up their mind what they wanted to do concerning impeachment before these hearings were made public? Does anyone think that? No, I don't think so. But during break time, Adam Schiff just happened to have a press conference lined up with the Crescent News Network. Listen to this exchange between Congressman Mike Turner and Ambassador Sondland once the press conference halftime was over. Clip number 3, please.
After you testified, Chairman Schiff ran out and gave a press conference and said he gets to impeach the President of the United States because of your testimony. And if you pull up CNN today, right now, their banner says Sondland ties Trump to withholding aid. Is that your testimony today, Ambassador Sondland, that you have evidence that Donald Trump tied the investigation to the aid? Because I don't think you're saying that.
I've said repeatedly, Congressman, I was presuming. I also said that President Trump.
So no one told you. Not just the president. Giuliani didn't tell you. Mulvaney didn't tell you. Nobody. Pompeo didn't tell you. Nobody else on this planet told you that Donald Trump was tying aid to these investigations. Is that correct?
I think I already testified.
No, answer the question. Is it correct? No one on this planet told you that Donald Trump was tying this aid to the investigations? Because if your answer is yes, then the chairman's wrong and the headline on CNN is wrong. No one on this planet told you that President Trump was tying aid to investigations. Yes or no?
Yes.
Now, pause that. Now, did you hear what the ambassador said? He was presuming. Did y'all hear that? Did anybody tell you that?
No.
Where did that come from? I was presuming. What are we doing, folks? I will not share with y'all what Marty just said. I told y'all had something ready to roll. He said he was presuming. I'm going to play that one more time for you guys to hear that. So we can convene an entire impeachment inquiry based off of someone's presumption? Oh, guys. This is remarkable. And I've told you before, this is a production to try to influence the American people, because all of these hearings have already been conducted in the basement of the Capitol. All of them. All of these interviews, deposition testimony, all of that has been done in secret. So they have brought this out to put on a show, like Brian Stelter told you. Play it one more time, Jason, and I'm going to pause it exactly where he says he was presuming.
After you testified, Chairman Schiff ran out and gave a press conference and said he gets to impeach the President of the United States because of your testimony. And if you pull up CNN today, right now, their banner says Sondland ties Trump to withholding aid. Is that your testimony today, Ambassador Sondland, that you have evidence that Donald Trump tied the investigation to the aid? Because I don't think you're saying that.
I've said repeatedly, Congressman, I was presuming.
I've said repeatedly, Congressman, I was presuming. What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? This. And if you think that was something, oh, I'm just getting warmed up. This is laughable, folks. This is laughable. But there's more. Sure, there's more. Let's go to clip number one, shall we, Mr. Tross?
When the chairman asked you about the security assistance dollars, you said there needed to be a public announcement from Zelensky. So I'm asking you a simple question. When did that happen?
Never did.
They got the call July 25th. They got the meeting, not in the White House, but in New York on September 25th. They got the money on September 11th. When did the meeting happen again?
Never did.
You don't know who was in the meeting?
Which meeting are you referring to?
The meeting that never happened. Who was in it? You know how Zelensky announced it? Did he tweet it? Did he do a press statement? Did he do a press conference? You know how that happened? I mean, you got all three of them wrong. They get the call, they get the meeting, they get the money. It's not 2 + 2, it's 0 for 3.
Not 2 + 2, it's 0 for 3. And Jim Jordan, Congressman Jordan, is using that reference because Ambassador Sondland said, well, nobody told me, but I put it together, 2 + 2. His presumption was 2 + 2. So Congressman Jim Jordan says, it wasn't 2 + 2, it's 0 for 3. Now, folks, this one that I'm about to play for you now, because I want to tell you again, Ambassador Sondland began his testimony this morning, read from his 23-page opening statement. Following the reading of that opening statement, Adam Schiff and many in the media, I'm talking about headlines are churning.
Ambassador Sondland admits quid pro quo, quid pro quo, quid pro quo, quid pro quo, quid pro quo.
But there was one small little matter he left out of his opening statement. Listen to this exchange between Congressman Jordan, and this is after halftime, the press conference halftime. Listen to this exchange between Congressman Jordan and Ambassador Sondland in clip number 2.
You said to the President of the United States, what do you want from Ukraine? The President, I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I want Zelensky to do the right thing. I want him to do what he ran on. What did he run on, Ambassador Sondland?
Transparency.
And dealing with corruption, right?
That's right.
Mr. Castor raised another important point. Why didn't you put that statement in your opening statement? I think you said you couldn't fit it in. Is that right? You said we might be here for 46 minutes instead of 45
minutes. It wasn't purposeful, trust me.
Wasn't purposeful?
No.
Couldn't fit it in a 23-page opener. The most important statement about the subject matter at hand, the President of the United States, in a direct conversation with you about the issue at hand, and the President says, let me read it one more time. What do you want from Ukraine, Mr. President? I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I want this new guy, brand new guy in politics. His party just took over. I want Zelensky to do the right thing. I want him to run on and do what he ran on, which is deal with corruption. And you can't find time to fit that in.
Now. Don't you think that's kind of important? If the main basis for this entire impeachment inquiry is Ambassador Sondland, because he's the only one of all of their witnesses who is even willing to testify that he's even had a direct conversation with President Trump. And he begins the morning with all of the pomp and circumstance of a congressional hearing, with all of the lion snake media outlets. He begins, there was quid pro quo between the president and the Ukraine. It was quid pro quo. And he just happens to leave out of his 23-page prepared remarks following his 10-plus hours of deposition that have already taken place. He just failed to include in that opening statement that when he talked directly to the president and he asked the president, what do you want from Ukraine? The president told him, I want nothing. I want nothing. I want the Ukrainian president to do what he ran on. You think that's an important point to add in your opening remarks? And listen, I want you to see the presentation being made to the American people. You think Gordon Sondland and Adam Schiff didn't know that this was a part of the transcript that they already got from the basement? But yet, Adam Schiff allows all of this to transpire, lets the halftime occur after he got the what do you call those things? I lost it. The little meme-like commentary from Ambassador Sondland, all of the media outlets, the keyboard warrior fingertips just are burning.
Quid pro quo, quid pro quo, quid pro quo.
And then to come back after halftime, and Ambassador Sondland has to reveal for all the world to see, oh yeah, by the way, President Trump told me he didn't want nothing from the Ukraine. Well, these people are sick. These people are sickening. This is sickening. So in your 23 pages, you can include that one, maybe two, maybe three sentences? Man, please. Man, please. Man, please. So you're presuming things. And you have content that is to the exact opposite of what you're suggesting? The American people must hold these folks accountable for this. The American people must hold these folks accountable for this. You must remember that these folks are more than willing to completely trample the office of the presidency. See, the office of the presidency is bigger than any individual who fills it temporarily. In Attorney General William Barr's speech, he talked about the development of the executive office of the presidency that the founders explicitly gave attention to. And many people think that our separation of powers were created to try to protect against a rogue executive. When actually, in 1689, in England, the parliament had ascended to power. And the founders sought to stave off tyranny as exercised by a legislative branch. Yet, we have these people. The resistance effort began following President Trump's inauguration. You have the full-throated usage of the Department of Justice, the intelligence agencies, the FBI, to overturn the result of a presidential election. And now, when all of that fails, you then immediately pivot and start talking about an impeachment inquiry that is based on nothing but conjecture and opinions that conveniently exclude the fact that the people that are advocating these opinions have commentary and information and evidence exactly to the contrary. Man, this is a crying shame. But these people cannot be allowed to escape with this. They must be held accountable more on the other side of the break.
What is our individual responsibility in the church that we're at now? Oftentimes we think, oh, well, that's for the elders and the pastor, you know. The truth is that the Bible does command individual Christians, regardless of their actual station in the church. There's specific responsibilities given to us by God himself that are not just for the benefit of the church at large, but for our benefit as well.
Engage Magazine, website and podcast. Learn more at engagemagazine.net.
We have been in a combat zone, and the stresses on soldiers come out quickly. It's an absolute joy to have the soldiers come back to you and say, man, you don't know how much that helped. It's a huge mission field.
Exploring Missions. Listen Saturday evening at 6:30 Central and Sunday afternoon at 1 on American Family Radio.
I've never forgotten Cademan. Hi, it's Michael with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. I visited Eastern Africa and worshipped outdoors on a 100-degree Sunday. Some of those had walked 2 hours just to be there. And afterwards, I met Cademan, a man about 30 with a wife and two children. He was hunched over a table, copying scriptures from an open Swahili language Bible onto a piece of paper. He was frantic as he wrote quickly, but then his face grew sad as he closed that Bible and returned it to its rightful owner. You see, in this congregation of 500, fewer than 10 had a Bible. I've never forgotten Cademan, this godly brother, desperate to take a few scriptures into his week to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And that's why I love what Bible League does, engaging the world with the hope of God's Word. Will you be a part of this kingdom work?
Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YESWORD. That's 800-YES-WORD. Or click sendbiblesnow.com. That's sendbiblesnow.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu.
Chick-fil-A flew the coop on the culture war, and it appears that a good many conservatives have flown Chick-fil-A's coop. Governor Mike Huckabee was one of the first to condemn the Atlanta-based restaurant chain, accusing them of turning their back on conservatives by embracing anti-Christian hate groups. Prager University, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, and even yours truly are among those disgusted by Chick-fil-A's cowardice. A high-level Chick-fil-A executive called me last night, assured me their decision to stop giving money to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and Salvation Army had nothing to do with anti-gay accusations. A bit hard to believe, seeing how the new charities they're funding completely embrace the LGBT agenda. It pains me to say this, but I'm afraid Chick-fil-A chickened out. Be sure to check out ToddStarnes.com for a free subscription to my podcast. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter Podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. The number to call if you'd like to join the program, because we shall open the phone lines this segment. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. Two topics we've discussed thus far were the revelation of the Lord that Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6. And then John writes that, you know who it was that Isaiah saw? And why Isaiah was so confident in what he shared? Because Isaiah saw Yeshua. That's who Isaiah saw. Oh, man. we truly should see everything in our lives through the lens of the finished work of the cross. If we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must view everything around us through the lens of the finished work of the cross. That's how we are able to not get too high or get too low and understand that this life is fleeting, is a vapor. But eternity is where we dwell. Then we turn to the production known as Impeachment, the movie, to where Ambassador Sondland conveniently left out of his 23-page, I think it was like 45-minute opening remarks, conveniently left out the fact that he asked President Trump what he wanted from Ukraine. And in his own testimony, President Trump said, I don't want anything from Ukraine. No quid pro quo. I want the newly elected Ukrainian president to do what he campaigned on, which was to root out corruption and for transparency. Well, that is rather convenient, sir, for you to leave out. And he said it wasn't purposeful. All right, Chief. So that's what you're selling? That's what you're selling? 23 pages, prepared remarks, after double-digit hours of deposition testimony in the basement. And you just left out that detail? I mean, what is it were you coming to testify on Capitol Hill for anyway? Man, please. And folks, I want to tell you, the reason why I'm doing this, because I think I told you guys, I don't really want to talk about these impeachment hearings, but I think it's important to really counter the narrative that's coming from the talking snakes. But I'm doing this so that you would be able to be armed with information to, first of all, know where you can stand firmly, and that you will be able to share with your friends and loved ones. Because the whole purpose of this production, the Democrat majority in the House have already decided they wanted to impeach the president before these hearings were made public. The whole point of this production is to move popular opinion and to get you to support that effort. That's the whole purpose of it. And I've said before, they don't really have very much hope of the president being removed by the Senate, but they really want to roll it out as their number one election strategy to beat Donald Trump. See, you know that they're not confident that they can beat him at the ballot box, which you have several Democrats at the late stage jumping into the race. Michael Bloomberg is talking about getting in. You have Deval Patrick, who, by the way, I find it interesting because a lot of people mocked Melania Trump for copying Michelle Obama's speech, but people leave out that the first prominent speech given by former President Barack Obama was when he was still a senator, a state senator at that. He copied word for word the speech from Deval Patrick, who's joining the Democrat presidential race. Go and look it up. Go and look it up for yourself. But nobody talks about Barack Obama copying Deval Patrick's speech in the era of YouTube. Anyway. The phone number to call is 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. A couple items I wanted to get to, and I have a whole deal. I want to talk about the Supreme Court case with Comcast versus Byron Allen. I've been having that in the stack. I just never got to it all this week, but I'm going to get to it before the week is out. Just want to mention, because the impeachment hearings are sucking up all the air in the room, so to speak, media-wise. A lot of people may not notice this, but Pete Buttigieg has pulled into first place in the polls in Iowa. Not only that, he's also first place in New Hampshire, two of the earliest primary voting states. And Buttigieg's New Hampshire lead is sizable, according to the polling, if you believe the polling, of course. He's pulled in 25%. Of prospective Democrat primary voters. Following him are Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, who are tied at 15%. No, I'm sorry, Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren, who are tied at 15%, and then Bernie Sanders coming in fourth with 9%. Now, this is interesting because New Hampshire is as close to a home state as Elizabeth Warren can get. It's just north of Massachusetts. But Pete is in first place? I told you that the guy who purports to be married to a man in clear violation of scripture is who many in the Democrat Party are looking to as a moral authority, as an authority on morality. And don't look now, but in two of the earliest primary voting states, he is now at the top of the polls. Just wanted to let you know. Just wanted to let you know. I have more stuff I want to get to, but I may not be able to get to that. Now, let's get to the phone lines. We will go first to North Carolina, where Kurt is on the line. Kurt, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Brother Abraham. It's always a pleasure to listen to you. And you answered some of my question. It was like a ride. On my ride home, I always listen to you, and I get kind of pumped up and want to know what to do with the information that I get. Do I call my congressman? I mean, should we write letters, or what do we do with the information? I do tell people around me mm-hmm. what I hear, mm-hmm. but I feel like there's more I should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would depend. Thank you for your call and your comments. It would depend on what the information is that you're getting. For example, the information concerning this impeachment phenomenon, it would begin with members of the House. So it you could call your congressman with it. I think that would be helpful to let them know where you stand on these issues. It would be good for your congressman to know, especially if you have a congress member on the House Intelligence Committee. That is the committee that's conducting this impeachment inquiry. In addition to that, letting your senators know is good as well. But I think the most important thing is to share it with your friends and family members. Because what happens with this, the impeachment inquiry, what's happening is the people that are pro-impeachment, they want to get a drumbeat of support from the American people. They want to get to the place where they're saying, oh, the American people are so outraged that they demand that the president is held accountable. That's what they're looking for, you know, and... what I seek to do is to make sure that we have an informed populace as best as I can in the brief amount of time that I have. And so those are some of the things you can do with it. But beyond that, I think the most important thing we should do, or I won't say the most important thing, but one of the primary things that should be done is, especially with the first segment of the program, that we are making disciples, cultivating and shaping our families. We cannot overestimate that. Sometimes we have the tendency to think that the discipleship is taking place by osmosis. But remember the fig tree that Jesus dealt with. From the outside, the fig tree appeared to be in leaf, but upon closer inspection, there weren't any fruit on that tree. And I think one of the things, especially if you have young children in the home, especially if you are a believer and you are a frequent, you're one who does not fail to gather with the saints for worship, we can assume that things are happening amongst our family members and our children that are not happening. So we must inspect that fruit and make sure that we are committing ourselves to our full-time job. All right, praise God. Next, we'll go to Texas, where Charles is on the line. Charles, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Abe. Abe, you said you didn't want to be doing the impeachment hearing. Man, you got to. You got to keep us informed. You got to keep doing it. And another thing I want to say is that I'm a black man, and I felt the longest was I felt ostracized because I was a Trump supporter, seemed like I was out here on my own. But, dude, getting my information from AFR and AFA, I've shared that information with a couple of brothers who was Trump haters from the beginning. But now they see and they turn over, like one's my brother. He's now, hey, man, they're doing that dude wrong. They're doing him wrong. He said, I'll vote for Trump because I like to be working. And, you know, I was unemployed in 2015. I have a master's degree in computer information systems. I was let go on my job because of the A-1 visa program. Mm. And I got my job back in 2016 and been working ever since then. Mm. And, you know, making up the line. What a master's degree, 14 years of history in this computer field. And people want to know why I support Trump as a black man, because of my moral integrity and the things I base my morality on, my family, and because of what he's doing for this economy. And we got to keep this word getting out there to the people to let them know that, hey, this news media, snake news media, is a force. Mm. It's wicked, and it's lying to the American people.
Well said, Charles. Thank you for your call and your comments. You know, it's funny. not funny in terms of laughing. It's funny in terms of ironic that there are lots of people that I talk to who share Charles's sentiment, especially men. You know, there are men who are saying, you can say whatever you want. But under the previous administration, I had a difficult time providing for my family. And now, because of the plethora of economic activity in other areas, I'm able to honor God by providing for my family. And, man, I wish I could tell you how many times I've heard that. And it's just one of those things. It's form over substance. And you guys listen to this program. You know I endeavor to be an equal opportunity truth teller. There are things that the president has said that I have come here and rebuked him publicly. You can search the archives. That has happened. But for some people, what I have done is not enough. They feel like I need to be rebuking the president every day. And I'm saying, listen, I'm going to call it like I see it. You know, if you want to do something different, you're welcome to start your own radio program. But you can't make me do what you want me to do. And you can say what you want. And there are things that I disagree with the president about. There are things that he has done that I feel like is wrong. But overall, and I'm not one of these people who say his good cancels out the bad. No, I don't think that. I think as a God-fearing man, I have the responsibility of saying this is good and that is bad without any effort to try to cancel things out. But make no mistake about it. Have you seen the people who are running to replace him? Have you seen them? And if you haven't, guess what? Tonight you have an opportunity because the fifth Democrat presidential primary debate is tonight. Have you heard the things they want to do? Have you seen the support they've given to the types of policies that will obliterate your religious liberty? Have you seen their commitment to the unimpeded slaughter of children? Have you heard them talk about this? Have you heard them describe how they feel like it's moral to confiscate your private property and the fruit of your labor to distribute to others? Have you? Folks, make no mistake. There are people who are advocating for the presidency who stand in stark opposition to almost everything that is right, good, and holy. I'm just telling you. Back to the phone lines. We'll go next to Ohio, where Joe is on the line. Joe, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton, for taking my call. Charles made some good points and took a couple of mine. But just from your program last couple of days, I think we need to pray for Chick-fil-A. I think they just have grown weary after 7.5 years of being attacked by the liberals and the evil elements out there. And thank God that you and AFA radio get the truth out, because especially with these impeachment hearings, thank God we got some fighters in there, the president, Jordan, Nunes, Stefanik, and a few others. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that these, if we had, you know, 219 fighters like Jordan, that's all we need in the House. But hopefully they won't grow weary, because they are fighting a liberal evil foe. And just pray for him. Thanks for all you do. Take care.
All right. Thank you so much for your call and your comments. I want to try to get one more in. We'll go back to Texas, where Janet is on the line. Janet, yeah, 15 seconds. Go right ahead.
Okay, yes. On Chick-fil-A, I think they're going to be moving out. They got those cows on the wall. Because just figure it. Do the math how many people went there supporting when Governor Huckabee said, okay, you know, several years ago, I was one that stood in the line. Yeah, yeah. And you figure, do the math, how much millions of dollars they're going to lose.
Well said, Janet. Janet said they're going to be moo. I can't do it, Janet. That was funny. But thank you all for listening to the program today. And folks, just what I said at the beginning, if you do not yet know the Lord, eternity is a long time to realize the error of your ways. Today is the day of salvation.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith.